Sweet, sweet spirit, stand as we sing. Go through it twice.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As we like to say, let the kids come forward, please. It's a beautiful day, and we got kids today. Yeah, you can stay right there, because I can see you. God can see you. We all can. You're just fine. Hey, guys. How are you? Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Well, good. You know what I'm happy about? It's not so cold. It was really cold and nasty for a while. Well, the last few weeks, we have been talking about different things from the Bible. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about anger. And there's some things I want to share with you about that first. But do you guys know what this is? What do you think? Yeah, our receives. That's right. It's our offerings that we like to put a little gift for God, right? We like to do that. And it's a very important part of our ministry. But you know what? And we're going to talk about that some today. While it's important, God really thinks what's in our heart is more important. God really thinks what's in here is more important. In fact, I'm going to read you a little something this morning, kids. It's from the Bible, and we've been reading something similar about it. The last few weeks, we've talked about the salt of the earth, and we're also the light. This week, we're talking about anger. And in one part of the Bible, Jesus says, if you were presenting your offerings to God, putting your gifts in the plate, and you remember that you have said something mean or hurtful to someone, you've hurt their feelings, leave your gift at the altar. Go back and tell that person you're sorry. Make amends with them. Say you're sorry to God. Then come back and put your offering in the plate. Because God cares what's in our heart. All right, so I've got these envelopes. And I'm going to give each of you an offering so that afterwards, when we're finished, and you guys are heading back to Bible, you can put this one in the plate right here. Told you I would find you. And I'm so happy you're here. All right. But before we place that offering in here, we need to make sure our heart is good. And what I have here is a heart. All right. Now, during the week, did anyone say anything bad to somebody else? No. You didn't? Well, you know what? I had a thought, so I'm going to put a little zigzag in my heart. Did anybody say, have an argument with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa? Maybe. All right, I'll put another little scratch mark here. Did anybody talk at school when they were supposed to be quiet? You did that one too? I used to do that a lot, Collins. Sorry. All right, so what we have is we have a lot of marks. We have a lot of marks in our heart. So what God wants us to do is go tell those people that we're sorry. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings. He wants us not to be angry with anybody. And when we do that, when we say we're sorry, we can have a clean heart. And that's what God really wants. God really cares about us. All right, so can we say a little prayer before you guys go back to class with Miss Michelle and Miss Paige? All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you like to see us heart pure and give you the Lord and blessing that you deserve. We're sorry if we say things to upset other people, and we'll try to be better people. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I tell you what, I'm going to put this right here, and you can put your offering. This is your gift for God. And you, why don't you put it in there? It'll make God happy. Tell you what I'm going to do. Look at that example. All right, Charlie, can you put it in there? I'll let you think about it. And part of the reason, Charlie, is because God told me not to be angry. And I'm not going to be angry. You guys have a blessed day, and thanks for listening.
Children never cease to amaze me. What would we do without them? Mine are both grown. and over 50. And then all my six grandchildren are almost just about grown. So, but I don't have any to hold or play with anymore. They're all, all but one, the last one, he'll be 16 in July, and he's the only one left that doesn't have a driver's license. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a day we call the Lord's Day, a day that is celebrated because it's the day that your Son arose from the grave, and to realize that each and every day is Resurrection Day for us, to know that we've been saved. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. And we pray, Father, that we live our lives accordingly. Help us to be an example to others as we go each day. Help us to be friendly to our neighbors. Help us to love one another. And help us to guard against those times that we would think to take revenge or get angry at somebody for in words, deed, or whatever it may be. Let us not do that. And when we have, let us seek for forgiveness that we need. Let us seek reconciliation one with another as you have reconciled us. And we pray that as we go out into the world, we look around us and we're sensitive to your Spirit and see the opportunities that we may have to witness to the lost. And we pray, Father, that you would be with this world today. We know there's so much turmoil in it. There's still wars going on. We pray that these wars would come to cease. And we pray, Father, for those of our church family that are ill, those that are in the nursing homes, those that are undergoing surgeries and other tests, that your healing hand would be upon them and guide them along the way. Also be with those that have recently lost loved ones and to continue to pour out your love upon them. And as we go through this service now, we're intent upon listening to what you have to say to us in the words of the scripture and in the songs that we sing. And may we listen intently to your voice as we do the rest of this service in the glory and honor of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I offer to a hymn this morning. It's 502. In my heart there rings a melody. 502. I'm glad Todd didn't ask me something about school. I shot a firecracker in study hall.
Thank you.
we're going to expound on what Todd told the children today. And we're not going to leave with the offering. We're going to leave it. Fear is the wrong use of imagination. It's anticipating the worst, not the best, that can happen. A salesman driving on a lonely country road one dark and rainy night had a flat. He opened the trunk and there was no lug wrench. He headed into the driving rain towards a dimly lit farmhouse. Surely the farmer would have a lug wrench he could borrow, he thought. Of course, it was late at night. The farmer would be asleep in his warm, dry bed. Maybe he wouldn't answer the door. And even if he did, he'd be angry at being awakened in the middle of the night. The salesman, picking his way blindly in the dark, stumbled on. By now, his shoes and clothing were soaked. Even if the farmer did answer the knock, he would probably shout something like, "What's the big idea of waking me up at this hour?" This thought made the salesman angry. What right did that farmer have to refuse him the loan of a lug wrench? After all, here he was stranded in the middle of nowhere, soaked to the skin. The farmer was a selfish clod, no doubt about that. The salesman finally reached the house, banged loudly on the door. A light went on inside and a window opened above. A voice called out, "Who is it?" His face was white with anger. The salesman called out, "You know very well who it is. It's me. And you can keep the blasted lug wrench. I wouldn't borrow it now if it was the last one on earth." I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Sinbad and his sailors. You know the stories, the tales of that. One time they landed on a tropical island, as it has it. They were thirsty and hungry. There were coconuts, but high up in the trees, they were out of their reach. There were chattering apes throwing rocks and sticks at the apes. They got angry, and they threw coconuts at the sailors. So the angry apes indulged in anger and played right into the hands of their enemy. Anger is a natural emotion. It should be controlled, though. It should not become a sin. Anger in its of itself is okay. God gets angry, but God never sins. Jesus says the root of murder is anger. So we're going to look at, we continue the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at dealing with anger. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to turn there. Of course, there's an outline if you want to take note with that. So Matthew 5, 21 through 26. "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of the hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go away first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." First, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20. Verse 13, that's one of the Ten Commandments. It simply says, "Thou shalt not kill." We're not to take the life of a fellow human being. But we have a lot of that going on in this world, don't we? Have a lot of it going on. But then there are those that say, to those that have killed somebody, and then we try them and give them the death penalty. Oh, they get all upset. No. We're not supposed to kill. Well, wait a minute. Who instituted capital punishment? God. He said, you take a life, you shall lose your life. And you know what? I can't understand this. These people that are for abortion, killing little innocent unborn, and if they survive an abortion, they want to kill them anyway. They're the same people that don't want to see a criminal put to death. They got their things reversed. But thou shalt not take the life of another. What does it say? You're in danger of judgment. You surely will be judged. The real meaning of the law, Jesus says, is anger. Murder. Murder is the outward act. That's you. That's what you carry out after the anger that was the inward act. That's where it starts. In fact, Jesus tells us that's where all of our sins, all of our problems, it all starts in the heart. We start thinking about it, and then we end up acting on it. So that is with that. What does anger do? You let it stay there for a while, causes bitterness, causes hatred, causes rage, causes an uncontrolled spirit. It has a desire to want to hurt another. It's slandering and destroying a person's image. That's what it leads to. Anger can grow. The growth of anger is dangerous. Unresolved, it will fester. It's like a disease or like a cancer. It will fester. It will grow. It will get out of control. Anger that broods is... it's selfish. Usually the anger causes the person's own selfish thoughts. It harbors malice, wants to hurt something or somebody. It will not forget. It will not let go. It lingers. It stays around. And it wants revenge, and eventually it seeks it. Now there's contemptuous anger. But the word here, calling somebody raka, that means they're worthless, empty-headed. You know, we might call them an idiot, something like that. It's to call one names. And we do that, it shows that we despise them. And we ridicule them. And it arrogantly exalts oneself above others. An accusing, cursing anger, calling someone a fool, that's an expression of abuse. It's bitterness and hatred expressed in words. It destroys one's reputation. We might call this character assassination. You know, it says, thou shalt not kill. Sometimes you can kill a person by character assassination. We see a lot of that in public today, don't we? People... to tear down one another. This is what I hate every time it comes time for an election. How much of that do you hear? And I just say, I wish the election would be over with so I wouldn't have to stand and hear all of that. Character assassination. God warned Cain. Here we have the first recorded murder. Cain slew his brother Abel. Why? Well, God told Cain that his offering, and we talk about bringing the offering, his offering was not acceptable. And the reason his offering, one of the reasons it was not acceptable was, God said sin was crouching at his door. He had sin. And what did that sin lead to? He was jealous of his brother Abel because Abel's offering was acceptable. So what did he do? He did his brother in. I think I might have done this in Bible study. I've told about when I was a chaplain at Norfolk General Hospital. I spent 3 years there as an adjunct chaplain, volunteer. I'd pick on Friday nights. They said I was a glutton for punishment because Friday nights was all the drunks and the stabbings and the shootings and all of that came in. You know, Norfolk General Hospital is busy. The first fellow they brought in, the first night I was on duty, they brought a fellow in, had been stabbed in the chest with a steak knife. He did not survive. He died there in the hospital. I think it punctured his, got his heart. I learned and found out from the police that brought him in, he had been stabbed in the chest by his own brother, fighting over a woman. I don't know what caused that, one or the other, but that's what it all boiled down to. That started with anger. Paul warned, don't let your anger give opportunity to the devil. Because if you sin, that's who you're giving opportunity to. And he will encourage you to do it. Handling anger. Like I say, anger in and of itself is not wrong. Jesus expressed his anger. I know of at least three instances in the Bible we see Jesus angry. First one, in the temple. He went in there, cat nine tails, kicking over the tables. And he wasn't singing like we did this morning, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. They were misusing God's house. We need to be careful how we use God's house. Second, he got upset with the disciples. Why? You remember when the children came to see Jesus and the disciples said, oh no, he's too busy, go away, he ain't got time for you. Oh no. Jesus always had time for children. Let them come to me. Don't you ever forbid children from coming to me. What does that say today to all these people that keep their children away from the Lord and from the church? When we have children, they're a gift from God for us to take care of. And it says to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And if you do, they won't get far from it. They'll come back. I'm an example of that. I strayed away for a while. I came back. Because I was trained in the ways of the Lord. I was raised in the church. From 2 weeks old, I was on a cradle roll. Thirdly, he had contempt for the Pharisees. He called them some not so nice names. Why? Because they were abusing God's people. He had God's people under their thumb. God doesn't like it when people abuse us. He doesn't like it. Some deny their anger. They go into what we call withdrawal. They won't let you know they're angry. They'll pretend nothing is wrong. It becomes what we call cold warfare. And it's difficult to deal with them when they refuse to talk. Now, this wasn't over anger, well, at one point, but when I first got married, my wife, she didn't want to pick a fight. She was only about 5'2". She married me so I could reach stuff on the shelves. But should she want to pick a fight? You know what I'd do? I'd get silent. I'd go off somewhere. You know, I just refused to do it. But I learned, and I had to learn it this way. I had to deal with her and get her over it and discuss it. And that's what we need to do. Don't hold it in. Something bothering you with somebody, go talk to them about it. But be nice about it. Some vent their anger like nuclear warheads. They explode and everyone is wiped out by the fallout. I had this when I first got out of the Navy. I went to work for the city of Norfolk, and I fixed traffic lights for 2.5 years of the city of Norfolk. I was a signal technician. I worked on the controllers and on the signal lights and all that stuff and everything. And we had several bucket trucks, and then we had this one truck was a flatbed truck, and it had the scissor type thing. The bed would lift, push a button on, and the bed would go up, you know, so high. And then in the bed, because sometimes there's some of the signals that we need to reach, we had a scaffold in there. We get up on stand on that scaffold inside of the truck bed. And sometimes, back then, especially when they had the older signal lights still up, the old ones, the steel pipe and all that, the four ways hanging on cable in the middle of the street. You know, now a lot of them on poles hanging out and so forth. But one day we had this problem with one, and we had to go work on it. I went with another technician. We went up in that flatbed truck to work on it. The fellow I worked with, his nickname was Heavy. He was a big fella. He was just a little bit taller than me, and he weighed 300 and some pounds. He was a beast. When he first went to work for the city of Norfolk, they took him down to the supply place to get him a rain gear that would fit him. And they went in there, when they asked him to get the rain gear fit him, the guy told him, says, Norfolk Tent and Awning is down the street. Well, that upset him. But I was up there with him, and something didn't go right. Man, he had a big old pair of those channel locks, you know, about this long. Throwed them down on the scaffold there, you know, on that board right there and all. And he was fussing and fuming and just throwing a fit. I said, hold it right there. I said, you want my help, you can stop right now. But I says, if you want to continue, I'm going to push that button. I'm going down and get off, and you go back up and throw all the fits and tools you want. So you want my help or don't you? I calmed him down. A lot of people, when they worked with him around, and when he did that, they just disappeared. But I dealt with him. Some think they're big shots because they're always popping off. Remember, men and pens are useless when they lose their heads. The anger of a good man lasts an instant, that of a meddler 2 hours, that of a base man a day and a night, and that of a great sinner until death. Now, there is justified anger. Anger with those who sin. We see people sinning and doing all these different things, and we should be angry about that. God is angry about sin. With those who are unjust and selfish in their behavior. People that all they think about is themselves. They don't think about the people around them or anything else. They think they're the only ones. But justified anger is always controlled. I don't know if I've shared this in Bible study not long ago about the fellow I had when I was at River Shore Baptist Church in Portsmouth. On a Wednesday night, choir practice, my wife sang in the choir, so I stayed around. And this one lady took care of the children, and one of the children got out of hand, and she spoke to the child. She didn't touch the child, just spoke to it. Well, the child's father happened to hear it, and he jumped all over that lady and had her in tears. And I thought, what in the world is wrong? And she was crying. And his name was Rodney. He wasn't a real big fella either. But I said, Rodney, I grabbed him in the hallway and said, get in here. And I took him in the Sunday school room and tried to resolve what was going on and, you know, get straightened him out. He got up in my face, red, both his fists balled up, and then started telling me what was wrong with me. And I thought, Lord, as I prayed, if he hits me, Lord, I'm going to deck him. But I calmed him down. But that wasn't the end of it. Sunday, I'm sitting back here in my study, which was right behind the the church here was like behind the door right there. My study was back in there. And I just walk out of there into the sanctuary. I was sitting there getting ready for the service. Sunday school was over. And this lady that Rodney had chewed out that evening, she came in and she says, "Pastor, you got to do something." I said, "What's the matter?" She said, Glenn was her husband. She says, "Glenn wants to take Rodney out and duke it out with him." You know, I said, "Oh, tell Glenn to come in here." I felt like a principal in a school, you know, sitting there dead. And Glenn came in there. I said, "Glenn, you can't do that." I said, "Maybe somebody needs to take Rodney out and work him over. Maybe he needs it. But so you're not going to do it." And I calmed him down. But he was just so upset because he didn't want his wife treated that way. But we have to learn to deal with these in a controlled manner. It's limited to those who either wrong God or others. That's where our anger should be. It's never selfish, not because we've been wronged ourselves, but because others have been wronged. Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Never let anger take hold without just cause. The answer to anger is reconciliation. It is urgent. It must precede worship. Like Todd was talking to the children this morning. It's being reconciled to God. That's our purpose of worship, is that we're reconciling ourselves to God. Amen. Worship is unacceptable to God unless a person is reconciled to his brother or sister. We need to be reconciled one with another. Bad feelings between believers can hinder our worship. Worship is a time to examine our hearts. And particularly to the Lord's Supper, next Sunday when we do the communion, the Lord's Supper. That's a time of self-examination, exactly. And do it while there is still time. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. While one is still in your presence. Now, I've known of instances where people have gotten angry with one another, never reconciled, and something happened to one of them. One of them passed away. And that person has that on their conscience now, that they never got straight with that person. That happens a lot in families. So do it while they're in prayer. You can't worship with barriers in your heart. The danger of holding anger. There's the earthly danger, as it says right here in the scripture, you know, that you could be in problem with somebody. You could end up in a legal suit over it. You can be imprisoned. There's increased barriers and bitterness as it goes. It puts your testimony in danger. Sometimes I've listened to people and they'll come to me and they'll talk to me and they'll go on about, "Oh, what was wrong with this person? You know, they got the angry at them," and so forth and all on, and then thinking they're, and I try to explain to them, you got to get right with them so you be right with the Lord. It hurts the cause of Christ. When we're known to be a Christian to others and we do that, it hurts his cause. They know that certain person shouldn't be doing a feeling like that. The non-believers know more about how we should behave than we do. The eternal danger, facing the judgment of God. And know this, and it tells us in the scripture, judgment is sure. As it said here, Jesus was explaining, the last cent will be paid. And there will be no escape. Now we, man, and our sin angered God. His wrath has been expressed. He's expressed it in His Word. He's expressed it in His actions toward it. And that's why there's the fires of hell. Let me tell you something here. And people say, well, God's not going to send anybody to hell. God's love. No, God's not sending anybody to hell. You know who sends people to hell? Themselves. It's because you refuse to reconcile yourself with God and accept His Son as your Lord and Savior. And that's what brings about reconciliation. We accept the love of God and the forgiveness He's shown us in His Son. We need to accept Jesus Christ. There is none other name by which we can be saved. Jesus Himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I'm here and I was thinking of this. From time to time, you'll hear people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it in your heart and you believe it is right, then it doesn't matter. Let me tell you a little story real quick. Let's say you're on the road and you want to go to Atlanta, Georgia. But you're actually on the road to Dallas, Texas. Now, matter how much you believe in your heart you're going to get to Atlanta, where are you going to end up? So it has to be Jesus. That's the only way. Nowhere else you may believe, that's not going to get it. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? It's time of invitation. You can come and receive Him. You can be forgiven of your sin and receive eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You for Your Word. And we see that it's important how we control our anger. There are things that we need to be angry about and do it properly. But if we have anything in our hearts against a brother or sister, we need to go get it straight. And to know that that's what You want us to do, and then that's how we become acceptable to You in worship, when we're right one with another. And we pray, Father, not a person would leave here today without knowing for a surety that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and to know that He died for them and rose for them to give Him eternal life, to know that His salvation is personal and is one-on-one with each of us and Jesus. And this we all pray in His holy and precious name. Amen. 479, softly and tenderly. Thank you. Amen. I trust you received the Lord's word today. Take it in your heart. Use it. Apply it. And don't do it sowing the seed. You know, don't let it get off of the roadside and get trampled and picked away. You know who wins then. Okay? And hope you have a good week. I hope it stays warmer. Okay? And hopefully we'll have Bible study and choir practice Wednesday night now. It was out of the question last Wednesday. So I'm that door today, okay? I'm going to go back there. I'm going to get the benediction, and then those are going that way, I'll greet you over there. Okay, so let me get back here, and I'll do the Benny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship one with another in your presence. And we pray that our worship was acceptable to you today, and that we leave here going out into the world as ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep us till we come safely back together, for we go in his name. Amen.
Amen.